Are you ready for a massive mind shift experience? This is the Mental Cement Podcast with your host, Candace Kelly.
What's up, friends? I'm Candace Kelly, and welcome back to another amazing episode of Mental Cement, your place to be for all things mindset, money, and happiness. Because if you're not happy, what are you? You're miserable. We got enough miserable people in the world, okay? We don't need more. So let's dive right back in where we left off. Episode 1, real sexy, right? We talked about your money. You understand now why you have to avoid those FTDs, financially transmitted dumb ideas. If that sounds like nonsense to you, you gotta go back and listen to the other episodes because you're missing out, homeboy. You're missing out, okay? Episode 2, we talked all about your money identity. There's a great quiz. If you haven't already, go take that because this is where we're kicking off today. Today, the long-awaited conclusion, right? What is that fourth money identity? What's the one that we all aspire to? Where you make a lot, you spend a little, and you're by all means wealthy. Like you are building wealth. You are doing the things that you've always dreamed of. You're living a life that to many people is unimaginable. And I think when we talk about this idea of wealth, we think of like Jeff Bezos. Boom. We think of Elon Musk. We think of Bill Gates. And yeah, that's like hella rich, right? That's like Jay-Z rich. Like, woo! Like, you know, you deserve to flex a little bit, okay? But what I'm talking about is something that is achievable for the everyday person, that you don't have to, you know, sell a huge company or, you know, become an amazing rapper, right? This is something that all of us, I truly believe in my heart that we all are able to achieve this level of wealth. And just to prove it to you, I got some special guests today. That's right, special guests. These people are moguls in their own right. These are people who, they worked hard, they hustled, they were smart, they learned about money, they were penny wise, they saved up, they lived on a plan, and now they're in hashtag mogul club, right? Millionaires club. They have a net worth of $1 million. That's that number we're all like, oh man, $1 million. But what I really hope to get across in today's episode is that millionaires are not different than we are. They act differently. They think differently, but they're not bad people. They're not people that are just, ooh, like, let's just Google them and see what their house looks like, right? They're actual human beings with real lives and desires and families and goals and disappointments and frustrations, just like the rest of us. And the biggest FTD, financially transmitted dumb idea, that majority of people have is we think that I'm not the type of person who, right? I'm not the type of person who goes to this great Ivy League school. I'm not the type of person that gets promoted after just a year. I'm not the type of person that, you know, is lucky. I'm not the type of person that works at a job that doesn't feel like work, where I'm excited to get out of bed every day. That's a real thing that people have. And the longer we tell ourselves that, yeah, but they're different than me, right? We're not the same. The longer we're going to be stuck being average. And if you haven't noticed by now, I'm a big enemy of average, my friend. I'm not a fan of that. So we're going to break that cycle. We're going to bring them on. But you know, in true Mental Cement fashion, we got to go big, right? We can't do it the basic way. We're not going to say, well, tell me about how'd you get your money. And they're like, well, I did the stock market and blah, blah, blah. No, no, no. We're going to do something really fun. So we're going to do a little game show. So welcome to, drumroll please, Mogul Talk. All right, welcome to Mogul Talk. I'm your host, Candace Kelly. Now let's go ahead and introduce the rules of the game so we can get a play-in, so we can get you staying on track with your budget and relaying some good news to your banker that you just made some money, okay? Okay, I'm sorry with the puns, guys. I'm really trying here. All right, so today's game is simple. We're going to interview two moguls. And by mogul, what I mean is that's our fourth money identity, right? Remember from last episode, we talked about the first one, which is the hustler. And the hustler is someone who makes a little and spends a lot. right? So most people fall into this group. They make a little, they spend a lot. They want to act like, you know, that they have a lot. They pay their bills on time, but they may not be saving. They may be living on a lot of debt. They may have complicated systems to get their bills paid by moving money around and paying half of this bill and paying half of this one. And ultimately, they're not setting themselves up to be able to reach the goals that they want to reach that financial independence, to live that beautiful life. The second, which is like a hustler all grown up, is the baller. So this is when you start making more money, right? But then you also spend a lot more money. And so essentially, you're doing the same behaviors just on a bigger scale. So this might be someone who does have $1 million, but they spend over $1 million and they're not budgeting. And if they are, they're just keeping track of it in their head. And they feel like, you know what? I don't have to worry about that stuff because I make so much darn money. But the thing about making money is if you make it, then you spend it all, you're still broke. So that's not where we want to be either, right? So then we start moving up. We move to Pennywise, not the clown. Trust me, no red balloons here, right? Just talking about how you are managing your money a little bit better. So you may still be making a smaller income at Pennywise, but you're saving, right? You're setting goals. You're paying off debt and avoiding getting into debt. You're starting to do those behaviors that will ultimately lead you to the mogul. And that's what we're talking about today. Mogul is when you're making a lot, you're spending a little. So that means you actually have money. You have room to invest. You have room to grow your money. You have room to save. When emergencies come up, it's like, boom, snap your fingers. Oh, car broke down, $3,000? No biggie, put it on my card. Not the credit card, but the debit card. Because we don't use credit because we have money in the bank, okay? So that's where we are today. And we're going to go into depth in some of the behaviors, the ideas, and why this is ultimately one of the most successful ways to manage money and why it could be a goal for you, right? That's my goal. I'm not there yet, my friend. I'm still on the journey with ya. I'm just your little guy trying to help you not make the mistakes I did and the ones I've seen others make. And so I'm at Pennywise trying to get to mogul. So why not talk to people who are there, who've been there, who understand it? And that's what we're going to do. So rules of the game. Rule number one, I'm going to have them introduce themselves, our contestants, and then we're going to ask them some questions. If they give us any cliches or answers that are like, yeah, it's pretty general, not too specific, lose a point. But if they give us something really good, really nuanced, really actionable, they're going to get a point, right? So it's not necessarily right or wrong. It's just like good answer or not so good answer. So let's get started and meet our contestants. Contestants, come on down. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourselves?
My name is Maurice Kelly, Mo Kelly, and I'm from Orangeburg, South Carolina, and I am 47 years old. I stay in Newcastle, Washington. It's a suburb of Seattle.
Mo used to be a professional football player with the NFL, and after he retired, he now works with one of the NFL teams as their head of player personnel. He lives in Seattle with his wife and wonderful son, Mouse. They also have a cute little dog. Let's give it up for Mo, everybody. Mo! Let's meet contestant number two.
Hi, my name is Hubert Kelly. I'm 50 years old. I'm Raleigh, North Carolina.
Hubert lives in the suburbs in North Carolina. He stays with his wife and two lovely children and works for one of the biggest biotech firms in the country. On the weekends, Hubert loves to catch a movie or maybe play a nice round of golf. Let's give it up for Hubert, everyone. Hubert! Question number one. What is your net worth?
My current net worth is right around 1.1, 1.2 million.
Boom, Hubert coming in strong. 10 points for that answer. Mo, how are you gonna follow that up?
I wish I knew. I mean, I have not done anything when it comes to net worth. I'm doing well. I think I'm in the millionaires club.
Ooh, I'm sorry, Mo. That's not quite what we were looking for. But congrats on Millionaires Club. Is it 1? Is it 10? We need to know. The people need to know. It's going to be a minus 10 for you. Let's move on. Question number 2. What's it like to be rich? Like, tell us, do you secretly have a couple butlers and, you know, a maid or two you just don't want to tell anyone about? Or is it just like, you know, a couple Lamborghinis? Like, what's being rich like? Go ahead and give us all the details.
I think rich is a mindset. And unfortunately, I have to state the obvious for people that's in my situation. I have none of the above. I'm just what they call an everyday millionaire. I'm a person that go to work every day, working a 9-to-5 and just being extremely smart and strategic about the way I save and invest. So that's my mindset of being a millionaire. I'm putting off things today for hopefully long-term success.
All right, Hubert, we'll take that. We'll take that. Not quite as flashy as I was hoping for. You know, I was hoping some of those secrets, you know, that you have a secret butt-wiping butler, you know, only for wiping the bottom. But, you know, hey, maybe that's $10 million level. I don't know. But anywho, 10 points for you. Mo, what you got?
You know, throughout the years, you know, I've been now, this is my 16th year in my current job, and nothing has changed for us as a family, you know, as far as the money that we live on. I always told my wife that, you know, hey, this is our budget. This is what we're going to be working with. And even over the years, as you continue to get raises, you know, we still kind of cover our bases the way we've covered our bases in the past. Now, we've upgraded on our home and different things like that. But you know what? Because we made the sacrifice early on, you know, when we sell one home, we take the money and put it into the new home. And so the payments of the home, it's not changed much, even though we've gotten a bigger place in a better neighborhood. Nothing really has changed.
Wow, Mo, what a great actionable response. You know what? Double points for that. 20 points for you, my friend. Let's move on to the next question. Question number 3. Where did you first learn about money?
I think I first learned about money growing up back home in Orangeburg, South Carolina, both from my mother and my father. My father was a good steward of money. He was a saver by nature. He didn't spend a lot. He was very thrifty and strategic on what he was saving for. My mother was more of the spender of the family and showed me some, I won't say bad things, but things that I need to avoid growing up when it came to money, like borrowing from lenders who charge you these outrageous interest rates. And it was something that I knew at an early age that I wanted to stay away from.
10 points, Hubert.
Well, I think, you know, it's trial and error, right? So making mistakes early on, you know, it's different when you're by yourself, right? When you don't have a family and you only have to worry about taking care of yourself. You know, me as being a man, I knew that as long as I had my health, I can provide for myself. And so I made some mistakes, did some things that I probably shouldn't have done early on. But one of the things that I always believed in was having my own. Meaning, you know, I've always, you know, when I started making money, I bought myself a vehicle. And then the next thing that I bought was I bought me a townhome. So a place to lay my head. And so I was always keen on that, making sure that I can take care of myself that way.
Great answer, Mo. That brings the total score to Hubert at 30. Mo, catching up, of course, with 20 points. So far, it's still anyone's game. Let's move on to question number 4. What set you apart from the rest? Why do you think you are able to accomplish all that you have and other people aren't? Is it something that you did differently? Did you get lucky? Or was it your mindset?
To answer the question, it's mindset. What is your mindset coming in, right? What is your mindset? Like, what are your goals? What do you want to achieve? Live beneath your means now so you can live comfortably later. The crazy thing about being here is that you don't know when your career is going to end, right? Like, you can have a mindset that I'm going to play for 10 years. That's everybody's thought process. Well, I'm going to play for 10 years. Okay. What happens if you go out and you tear up your knee, right? Like, those perks stop just like that, right? And so you just don't know. And so you're living and you're planning, and all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, next year, that's the year I'm going to start saving, like big time. Next year may not be next year. You go into training camp, you get cut. Holy crap. Like, I made all these mistakes, and this was the year that I finally got it, and I'm going to start saving, you know? And so I think it's an old adage, you know, that I kind of adopted from my parents, you know, just kind of put your head down and just go to work. I think we just take, we were able to take it a step further, you know, when it comes to saving. I don't think my parents were able to save much because, you know, with four kids, my dad having, you know, four kids and a wife, it was not much to save. But whenever you can not worry about having a roof over your head and clothes on your back and food in your stomach and still be able to save, I think you're doing pretty well.
Thanks for that wonderful answer, Mo. That'll be 10 points for you, my friend. Hubert, any thoughts?
I think it was a combination of both. I think luck sometimes is when preparation and opportunity meets. And I think, you know, it was, again, seeing the hard lessons growing up, coming from a family of four, not really having a lot, but also having the mindset of you live well within your means. My father, up until as long as I remember, never really had a credit card. He just paid for what we can afford, and that's what we had. If we couldn't afford it, we didn't get it. So I think having that mindset of trying not to live off of credit, trying not to have an awful lot of debt, and having a lovely spouse who bought into this mindset of, you know, thinking strategic and supporting me all the way, was very instrumental. But I think it was definitely an element of luck, but it was also being strategic and being smart about, you know, the choices that we made, needs versus wants.
Lovely. 10 points for you, Hubert. All right, guys, we're getting down to the wire. Final three questions here. Still anyone's game. Question number 6. What is something that people from the outside looking in misinterpret about your wealth or about being a mogul?
Here's the thing. Like, money never has driven me. You know, like, it's never been about the money. You know, it's always been about the love of whatever it is that I'm doing, right? The money is just a part of it, right? So playing football, right? Getting an opportunity to make it to the pros, it was never solely because of the money. It was always to say, I want to be the best at what I do, you know? And so with that, the best players in the world play in the National Football League. I want to do that. I want to aspire to do that. And with that comes the riches of it all, right? I mean, I didn't get the opportunity to go straight from college to playing in the league. You know, I had to work my way up. I mean, I didn't get an opportunity to go to the Clemsons or the University of South Carolina. You know, like, that's the highest of the highs. I aspired to do that, but I wasn't good enough. Essentially, I mean, that's what they said. You know, I wasn't recruited to go to those universities, and so I had to work. And so I worked my tail off to get an opportunity to go to ETSU. And from there, I had an opportunity, worked my tail off to go play in the CFL. It wasn't a National Football League, but it always gave me something to work towards. And when I got my opportunity, it wasn't about the money. You know, for people who don't know me and don't know what I do, you know, when you just have general conversation with people and just listen to their take on things, you know, it's funny to me because, like, they have no idea. Right. Like, they look at people and they think that they know them and they think they know that their struggle and all of this stuff. And it's like, it's so far from the truth. Right. Like, they're people just like you and I. Right. They go through the same things that, you know, that everybody else goes through, you know, like the whole race thing. You know, when people look at our professional athletes, like, oh, they don't go through that kind of stuff. I mean, you're Russell Wilson or you're whoever the case may be. It's like, yeah, but when they leave the field and they get in their car and they leave our facility, they're considered just a black person, a black man, you know? So they deal with a lot of things that everybody else deal with, right? The only difference is that financially, you know, financially, they're able to make sure that their bills are being paid and they don't have to worry about where their next meal is coming from. That's really it. But just imagine being 22, 23 years old, coming from not having a lot of money to now having the riches of the money that you always dreamed of and being able to do the things that you want to do, but having no direction, right? When it comes to financial, like a lot of our guys, you know, they get this money, but it's a process of learning what to do with the money. I've had guys that was willing to walk away from all of this because it's torn apart their families. You know, it puts so much added stress on their lives. And I think people have the perception of, oh man, I'll trade my life for their life at any time. I wouldn't necessarily say that that would be the case. You know, a lot of the stuff that these guys are dealing with, you know, and people don't know that because they need to put on a good face and get in front of a camera and tell you that everything is beautiful, right? And that's not always the case. You know, like we all kind of put on our mask from time to time and, oh yeah, hey, how's it going? You know, give them the company smile. And that's not always the case. Like they go through a lot and it's a lot to deal with and it's a lot to live up to. And, you know, when it's all over and said and done with, people are always judging, right? Oh man, you had an opportunity. You made all this money and, you know, you don't have anything. But yeah, they made a lot of money, but you don't know what comes along with that money, right? Taxes, paying agents, paying, you know what I'm saying? Like paying, you know, players and such. It's so much stuff that comes along with it. And I think a lot of times our players think that, oh man, yeah, I'm gonna get X amount of dollars. I've had guys supposedly getting signing bonuses and it's supposed to be for X amount of dollars. Let's just say $1 million. And they get a check and it's for, you know, $400,000. Like, hey, so Mo, when am I gonna get my second part of my bonus? I'm like, what do you mean? Well, I got a signing bonus, so it was supposed to be $1 million, but it's only $450,000 that I got. Oh yeah, well that's it, sir. You know, like that's what your $1 million is. You know, when it comes to taxes and, you know, all of the different things that you have to do. And they've already scheduled themselves to make $1 million. So in their head, they spent $1 million already. And so, yes, they make a lot of money, but for a lot of guys, they're working just like anybody else, paycheck to paycheck. And people look at us like, how can you be broke when you make all this money? Well, things change. When you make more, you spend more.
Wow, what a great answer. We'll definitely have to go back, rewind this episode to catch all of the gems that were hidden within that answer. Double points for you, Mo, 20 points on that one. Hubert, what about you? What are some things, in your opinion, that people misinterpret about the wealthy from the outside looking in?
I think a lot of people assume that millionaires or people that have a net worth of over $1 million are people who are very flashy, that are people who made it by stepping on other people. They're people who, you know, didn't work hard, didn't grind. They got it because they came from a wealthy family, a silver spoon in their mouth. I think those are some of the perceptions that people have. Now that I'm on the inside and working towards, you know, greater wealth, I recognize that it's choices that we make sometimes that leave us in the situation that we're in from a finance perspective. Now, there's times when, you know, all of us have bad things happen to people, but the vast majority are based on choices that we make as individuals.
Amazing, Hubert. Couldn't have said it better myself. Double points for you, 20 points. Question number 7, guys. Did you ever set an explicit goal to be wealthy, or did it just happen with a lot of hard work?
Well, I think it was a combination of both, right? I just did not want to be in a situation like how we grew up. Not meaning that it was bad, because it was great, you know, growing up. But it was things that we wanted that we couldn't afford. And I always thought that, you know, once I have an opportunity to be on my own, I'm going to work my tail off to be able to provide for myself, to do things that I wasn't able to do as a kid.
Great answer, Mo. 10 points on the board for you, my friend.
I did at an early age. I wanted to have my first million by the time I was 45. Didn't quite make that, but it was definitely a goal secretly that I had. And still expecting to grow my net worth over the next couple of years. But absolutely, it was a goal that I had that I was working hard to achieve.
Do you think it's important that people set that goal, or do you think with hard work, you'll probably get there anyway?
I think it depends on the individual. Setting goals are always nice to set goals and obviously try to achieve them. But I think depending on the individual, what I found is once you set a goal and you meet that goal, you continue to raise the bar and drive towards something else. It's just one of the things that I live by. If you're not growing, then you're dying. So continue to grow, continue to strive and push yourself for greater success.
Wow, Hubert, coming in with the double whammy. That'll be 20 points for you, my friend. Final question, question number 8. Do you believe that anyone can accomplish what you've accomplished?
Yes, there's been studies that have shown that people that make half of what I make can end up being millionaires. I think it's the mindset, and it's all about your goals, your objectives, and, you know, depending on how you want to live and how stringent you want to be on your financial choices that you make. So absolutely, I do think it's not all about what you make. It's all about how you save, how you invest, and more importantly, it's the time, right? The amount of time that your money is invested over a period of time that makes the biggest difference.
Hubert, with the fantastic 10-pointer to close us off. Mo, want to bring it on home for us?
If it's something that you're chasing, if it's finances, then okay, wait, get into something that's going to pay you a lot of money. Now, doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be happy, because that's what people find out, that they think that it has to be a financial piece associated with so you can be happy. You know, like, nobody wants to be broke. Like, you want to be able to pay your bills and all of that stuff, but it's probably easy for me to say that because, you know, I feel like I've been successful and I love what I do and I get paid pretty good money to do it. But I just know me, and the number one thing that I want to be is I want to be able to be happy and not be a burden on anyone. So that's saying a lot, but to be successful, I just think that it's a mindset. I truly do. You know, are you willing to do what it takes to get to where you want to be?
Uh-oh, what's that I hear? Sounds like it's time for the bonus round. This is a chance to make a quick comeback, double or nothing. Your bonus round question is, for someone who doesn't have all those advantages, someone who hasn't been blessed to work with the NFL or a top tech company, what should they do? What is their actionable next step in order to get to where they want to be? It's anyone's game now, friends. Answer away.
I think it would be to seek knowledge, and that can come from multiple places. One could be listening to a podcast like this. I would also say, you know, picking up some books to read, going online to look up things. Talk to people who have already achieved what you're trying to achieve. And I think just knowledge is the key. The thirst for the knowledge and having the discipline to stay in line with what your goals are and making those tough choices, then you can achieve anything that you set your mind out to do.
Are you willing to do what it takes to get to where you want to be? Because a lot of people say they are, A lot of people will always say, oh man, you know, I'm not getting the opportunity, you know, like this or that or whatever. Okay, and it is some things that's underlying things that we don't always get the opportunity to do. But I can tell you this, if you just keep your head down, you keep chopping wood and carry a positive attitude, I think success, you know, or successful people, successful mindset. People want to be around successful people or people who have that positive mindset. And eventually, if you keep your head down, you keep chopping wood, that opportunity will present itself.
Weren't these guys incredible? I mean, they were just amazing. Let's just give it up for them one more time. Yeah. Yeah, and so I know you may be wondering who won, Candace. Don't worry, audience, I'm gonna tell ya, right? The winner is, drumroll please, they're both winners. You know why? Because they both have figured out in different ways how to make their finances work for them. And that should be all of our goal, right? That should be the big takeaway. They know what they're doing. They came to share it with us, and we're ready to listen. We're ready to work. We're ready to take action. And in next week's episode, we're going to talk all about how to do just that.
Tune in next week as we continue our journey towards mindset mastery. Thank you for listening to Mental Cement.